The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Waterski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
That is me, the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC Podcast, the latest episode thereof. And great to have you on board. I'm here at the Hilltop Lake facility right outside Arlington, Washington, with a friend of mine from Australia who's been lighting up the slalom scene in recent months. Her name is Vanessa Veek. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I love it that you referred to me as your friend.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's very special.
Well, we're all friends in this extended water ski family, but yeah, Vanessa. I mean, the second point that I made in that little bit of an intro towards you is the fact that this season you basically come out of nowhere virtually. You know, you'd slalomed at the Swiss Pro, I believe. You know, you done the qualification series for the Masters, and you've been skiing fairly consistently ever since then. So give us a kind of overview of kind of what happened that led up to the point now where people are starting to sit up and take notice and say, Vanessa, what's up?
Yeah, so the past few years, you know, a lot of people have seen that I have two children. So I was busy having kids and getting myself back in shape. And then there was this over 35 women's Australian record, which was 2 at 39 or 2 at 10.75. And I just set my sight on that. And when I was able to get 3 at 39 or 3 at 10.75 in November last year, I realized that I could actually do this. And my husband really believed in me more than I believed in myself. And so pretty much since that day, I just decided, well, I'm going to have a crack at this. And I have skied pretty much 5 days a week, every week since November last year. And I think having children, it puts you into a different gear. Like when you're a mum, you can't have any time off. You can't have a sick day. You can't have a rest. Someone always needs something. So you're always working super hard when you're a mum. And if you can apply that to anything, especially water skiing and gym training and things like that, then you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So that's pretty much just what I've done, is just I have worked super hard since November last year.
Absolutely. And so just to kind of give us a little bit more of an in-depth as to how you got to this point. I mean, you got two at 39, then you went to 3, and then you realized that, hey, there probably aren't that many women in the world that are actually competing at this particular level. But the difference between getting 2 and 3 at 39.5 off is like a whole nother world, isn't it? So, I mean, you must have had some help along the way.
Absolutely. Well, I first came over here to ski with Chet when I was 17.
That's Chet Raley.
Chet Raley, yeah. And then I always wanted to go back. And then I didn't actually go back and see him until I was 29. But at that stage, I mean, I was running 38 every now and then. And I met my husband, who works with Chet Raley, and the two of them really have taken me to another level. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, 2, 3, 4 at 39. I mean, if you can get 3, what's another 3 buoys? You know what I mean? So that is my goal, is to break the Australian Open women's record that Karina Nolan still holds. I think she broke it like 10 years ago, and it's 1 at 41. So that's what I'm going to be working towards in the next few years.
Excellent stuff. So as listeners to this webcast have probably realized now, your accent is definitely not from within the United States. I mean, you're a pure and proud Australian. So what led you to come from Australia and settle in South Florida? What were the events that led up to that?
So basically, I wanted to qualify for the World Championships in 2013. And the only way I could do that was if I got into the top, I think at that point it was like the top 20 on the IWWF rankings, because I wasn't going to make it for Australia because they generally pick three event skiers. And so I came over here in pursuit of making the qualifying for the Worlds. And that's when I met my husband, Noah. And at that point, we decided to have a long distance relationship, and then it was time for us to get married and for one of us to move. And I realized that my very patriotic Midwestern husband was not going to leave America. And so, yeah, it was time for me to move. And yeah, so now we live down in West Palm, and he works with Chet Raley, and I can ski with him. My husband Noah every day, and it works out really, really well. And we don't just water ski. I mean, he's really into triathlon, and we have a home gym, so we make sure we do a ton of off water training. We watch ski videos, we talk about technique, we do a lot of like mental like mindset work as well. So it's not just, you know, going out and getting a score on the water. It's about a combination of things.
Excellent. So I mean, that was back in 2013. Yeah. So you were trying to qualify for the World Championships that were in Chile and that around about that time. So I mean, fast forward now, 8 years later. You know, you skied the previous November. You realized that, hey, I mean, I might actually have a shot of being among the top skiers in the world in the slalom event. And approaching May, you had the opportunity to qualify for the Masters Water Ski Tournament, one of the most prestigious tournaments there are out there. You know, so I mean, kind of take us a little bit back to the events that led up to that. You know, because I mean, it was a once in a lifetime deal for you, because under normal circumstances, to qualify through the Masters, I mean, you had to have had a long track record in the previous season to actually qualify through those tournaments, and yet you had a series of three separate cracks to make it through.
Yeah, that's right. When that first came out, I think it was like January, and Noah and I went out to dinner. And I said to him, hey, I think I want to try and qualify for the Masters. And so we discussed, well, even if you don't qualify for the Masters, you know, it'd be really good experience for you to be standing on the dock with all those other pro skiers to get you ready for the Worlds. Because this year is a Worlds year, and that was always my goal, to qualify for the Open Worlds, because I've never actually skied at an Open Worlds. And so when, you know, practice was going really well and Swiss went really well, we realized that, you know, it's not just about standing on the dock and getting experience with all these other professional skiers and the other top skiers in the world. It's about believing in yourself and actually having a crack, and knowing that if you get that score, you earn that score and you deserve to be there.
Absolutely. So then you qualified from the first tournament, right? You're over at Tacori Picos' place. So you had three cracks at it. You qualified with the first one. So done and dusted. Everything's looking good for you. Once in a lifetime, you've stood on the dock at the Masters, Callaway Gardens, Robin Lake, you know, just absolutely hallowed ground so far as water skiing go. What was going through your mind?
Honestly, I was actually teary. I had tears in my eyes because, you know, I came from the most isolated city in the world. I'm from Perth, Western Australia. I'm the only Western Australian woman to ever ski at the Masters. And so I was just so overwhelmed with, like, joy that I was able to be there. I'll never forget driving along the side of the road when we first entered, and I looked over at the pavilion And I was in awe. I couldn't believe that I was seeing the Masters in real life. So I was excited. I wasn't nervous at all because I'd skied at Moomba and people had said, you know, it's Robin Lake is relentless, it's unforgiving, and it's going to be rough. So I kind of had that like Moomba idea in my mind. So I wasn't too shocked at the rollers and the conditions, but honestly, I was just overwhelmed with joy that I was actually standing there and that all of my hard work, because it takes a lot of hours and a lot of effort to get to that level where you qualify for something like that. You know, it's people on the webcast or people who come to a water ski event, they see any skier out there and they go, oh, they make it look so easy, but they don't see what goes on behind the scenes. Like for my husband and I, it's every single day putting our kids in the car and getting our kids in the boat, and we try and do it together as a family unit, and it's really not that easy, but we love it. So yeah, to answer your question, just being on the dock at the Masters was pure joy.
And I mean, you briefly mentioned the whole stuff about Moomba. I mean, you've skied Moomba Masters a number of times. Yep. I mean, you're Australian, you're elite level competitor. Yeah, you've got to have skied at the Moomba Masters. You know, for someone, for anyone that's listening to this that has caught a glimpse of the Moomba Masters, they probably don't see an awful lot of what occurs underneath the surface. So far as being able to ski on the Yarra River. I mean, literally, I mean, you've got currents going one way, turning around, going the other. You've got wind, you've got rollers, you've got all sorts being thrown at you. You know, kind of give us a sense there.
Oh, sometimes you have plastic bags and sometimes you have branches and then you've got, you know, thousands of people on the banks watching you. I mean, it's like no other experience. I can't even describe the world that you feel like you're living in when you ski there. And I grew up, you know, skiing there. And so for me, it was only a 3-hour plane ride. Mm-hmm. But I had a new appreciation for all the international skiers when I flew from the US and skied at Moomba in 20, I think it was 2018. Whoa, that was crazy. I mean, you literally fly across the world and then you have to go and ski on the most challenging site on the planet. And it's just like,
with no guarantee that you'll get anywhere past your opening pass.
No, because, I mean, you pull out for your gates down that bridge end.
Swan Bridge.
The Swan Street Bridge. And you're kind of like thinking, are they for real? Do they know what I'm pulling out in here? Like, I'm in serious chop. And then you turn in and if there's a strong current, you can see the right-hand gate ball moving. Like, it kind of moves back and forth with the wakes and with the current. And so it's kind of like, are these guys for real? Like, if people actually ski here? So it's always good to watch the guys ski before the girls because, I mean, the guys just go for it. So, yeah, it's the most amazing event.
All right, another amazing event that takes place every couple of years, no matter where you happen to be around the world, is the World Championships. I mean, we're in a World's year. The travel to get to the Worlds this time around for you, you'll be representing Australia, and it will be over at Jack Travis's place, not too far outside of Groveland. You've never skied the Open Worlds.
Nope.
This is going to be a first for you, so how do you think you'll approach that?
You know, I've been very, very fortunate to have Christy Overton as my mentor this year, and she has been so kind and generous with her time, and she's really helping me get prepared for that. I'm, again, so thankful I just have a 3-hour drive instead of an international plane ride. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that we're working on right now, and I really just hope to go there and execute the keys that I'm working on in a high-pressure situation. So my goal, my husband and I, we have our goals, and that's what we're working towards every day, every time we go out and ski. And, yeah, I just really, regardless of what happens, where I end up, if I can go out and do my keys, then I'll be really proud.
What are your keys?
You just watched me ski, definitely keeping my left shoulder up when I come into 135. Yeah, I have a tendency to push the handle down when I feel compromised. So if I feel fast or narrow, sometimes I'll push my hand down. And then if my left shoulder is down and my hand is down, it's really difficult for me to ski back behind the buoy into my alignment. So that's certainly something that I'm working on. I'm always working on my gait. I don't know any slalom skier that has thought, well, I'll just get through this pass and I'll figure out the gait later. You know, I think the gait is such an important part, especially as the line gets shorter. So definitely working on some gait turn in things. And yeah, really just being strong behind the boat and being in a really good skiing position out of each ball. And then just, you know, just trying to stay calm and not analyze the pass as you're going through the pass. You know, it's, I guess golfers do that and other really technical sports, they do that. They get in their own heads. And with slalom, you just kind of have to tick the boxes and keep moving.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, this season, I mean, you've already achieved one of your lifelong goals, skiing in the Masters. You're about to achieve another, which is skiing in the Open Worlds. I mean, so how does that reconcile itself from a psychological point of view? I mean, you've already achieved one goal, which is like lifelong goal, and then you've got another one coming up. You know, how do you go into those events not to be overawed by the occasion type deal and the significance of being there?
Well, fortunately for me, I'm really strong in my faith. So I am a Christian and I believe that my gifts and talents have come from God. And whether I ski good or bad, I believe that He has a plan for my life. And I know that He has placed me here in the United States and given me the gift of water skiing. And so for me, it's just really, I feel like I'm just following what I'm being called to do, and that is represent Him on this stage. And that really does, it keeps me grounded and it keeps me content. And I don't really get like overwhelmed with sadness or disappointment when things don't go my way. And at the same time, I try not to be like super, you know, I was joyful at the Masters, but I try not to let my highs be too high, because at the end of the day, I'm just trying to do what I'm being called to do.
Excellent. So, this is going to sound like a weird question, but do you ever get homesick for the life and the livelihood in Australia? I mean, you've made a life for yourself in South Florida, but do you miss Vegemite?
I don't miss Vegemite because I have it in my pantry and I'm able to eat it every other day.
I can just imagine house guests coming along and says, right. What's this stuff? Oh, yeah. It's Vegemite. You want to give it a try?
Yeah. Well, I gave it to my daughter and the video of her was so funny. So many people said, you need to send that into America's Funniest Home Videos. My son loves it. My daughter hates it. But you know me, I'm so honest to answer your question. I am homesick. Yeah, it's really hard, especially with COVID. I mean, you just can't go home. And I love my friends and family here. I miss the Aussie accents though, and I miss the humor, and I just miss the camaraderie. I do get homesick. I miss the coffee. Oh, I miss the coffee.
Do you ever get tempted to go onto YouTube and watch a little bit of what Karl Stefanovic gets up to?
Definitely not a Today fan or wherever he's from. I can't remember the TV show.
Today on Nine Network.
But you know what? My husband and I, for a while, we were able to download some Australian shows by using one of those...
VPNs.
Yeah, VPNs. And so there's this like home renovation show called The Block. And, oh, we love that show. But then our VPN thing, it stopped allowing us to watch the Channel 9 news, the Nine Network, so we can't get that TV show. But yeah, of course, There's plenty of shows out there. Offspring, that's a really good Australian one. If I watch that, I get super homesick because I watch them eat muffins and drink coffee and it reminds me of home.
All right, then. So, with your future plans and everything ahead and the goals are heading up well, we'll round up the podcast, but is there anything you'd like to say to your fans, to your friends going forward? Yeah.
That's so funny you say fans.
Yeah, you've got fans. Oh my gosh, since the start of this season, come on. You stand on the dock, you're challenging all of the younger skiers that are coming up, you know. Slaloming out there. You're kind of like a little renaissance girl, I would say.
I just want like women especially to know and people who have had babies that, you know, it's not the end of you, it's just the beginning. And it doesn't matter what level of skiing you're at, just write down a goal, write down the steps and work towards it. And don't worry about being the best skier in the world or the best skier in the nation or the best skier in your division. Worry about being the best skier that you can be. Because if you improve on your performance, then you can't do any better, you know? But if you're constantly comparing yourself to your division or your nation or the world, then that will just steal your joy and it just gets in the way. So my advice to people is set a goal, work towards it, and compete against yourself.
All right then, folks. That was Vanessa Veek. I'm Tony Lightfoot for the TWBC podcast. Thank you very much indeed for spending a little bit of time talking with me.
No worries
at all. And I'm saying that in a non-ironic or humorous sounding way. I do actually use no worries.
No worries, mate.
No worries at all. Okay. That concludes the podcast. Thank you very much indeed. And until the next episode, I will say ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.